Blog Talk Radio.
And here we go with the main event of the evening, ladies and gentlemen in attendance, Bucks and fans joining us around the world. It's time for the bout you all been waiting for.
And tonight, it is showtime. We are back. He's Marshall. I'm Chris. And we're here to talk about the NBA Finals. Obviously, Game 5 coming up. We'll definitely take a look at that. Obviously, a lot of chatter going on out there about the suspension for tonight's game from Draymond Green. Of course, we'll probably start with that. And, you know, it's been a little bit now, but I think that, you know, it's helpful to look back since we've last, you know, done our show and look back at the last game or two and just kind of give a nice summary. Obviously, Friday isn't that long ago, so we'll try not to bore you with too much recap, guys, but we will talk about Game 4 and a little bit about Game 3, basically kind of catching up where we left off last show. And where we left off, you know, obviously Golden State was up 2-0. The second game, Golden State really just dominated Cleveland in a variety of ways. And it was looking like, man... Some people didn't even think maybe they'd win a game, you know, based off that, especially that second game. It was just like, wow, I don't know. You know, I really don't know. And then, of course, the Kevin Love situation, something that we've talked about, addressed, speculated here. I mean, not just us, but everybody on social media and of course, in the media. That's been a... Draymond Green and Kevin Love, I'd say those two. Of course, you're going to have the Splash Brothers and then LeBron and Kyrie. Of course, they're going to get a lot of talk as well. But those two have been talked about a lot, Draymond Green and Kevin Love. So, you know, before we get into talking about tonight's game, before we get into recapping the last two games or any other, you know, type of stuff, I think we should just start with the news that came down that Draymond Green is in fact suspended for Game 5. He will not be in the building. And to me, Marshall, it's not really a surprise in today's NBA in general. And I shouldn't just say NBA, because sports in general in the last 15 to 20 years have become a lot more corporate. Of course, they're corporate companies. But as far as the, you know, the perception out in the public, they are, I mean, every company, no matter if you're what industry you're going to be in, a lot of people are going to, you know, worry about their perception in the public, what the general public thinks of you,
sure,
whether it's good or bad. So that is a normal thing, but it does seem as sports in general, especially some of these top sports, have grown in the last 15 to 20 years. It just, like I said, it's just kind of part of, you know, part of the deal. And so... Really, I did think that he kind of, or not kind of, to me, I think he dodged a bullet last series, you know, with the field goal kick, or maybe it was more of a punt, really, when I think about it. It was probably more of a punt, but you know what I mean? Because I think he didn't really run into it like a field goal, so I think that's overstating it. I think the punt is just a nice little putt, like a pooch punt. That's probably what he did to the lower section. But, you know... That right there, I was kind of surprised that that didn't get you suspended, but he was able to, because his arms were flailing, there's no doubt about that, and he was trying to draw a foul, so I think that's obviously why he escaped it there, but we knew he was a flagrant away from being suspended. So it's just a matter of time. It's not a big surprise here because, you know, retaliation and this and that, we can talk about a variety of stuff of who started it. I mean, a lot of times these, including this one, it can not only start on the play before, but it can start from a quarter ago. You know what I mean? It can really start at the beginning of the game and someone retaliates later. So as far as the back and forth and the tit for tack, in a moment like this, it's not as important unless someone got hit in the you know what, and then later in the game someone was just retaliating. Well, then both of them, if it's on film and captured, would have had to been suspended rather than other things that could be just a normal flagrant foul or just a foul, whatever. I think this one was pretty blatant. If you look at if you just take it on the ground, right? A lot of people are saying, well, you know, LeBron shouldn't have stepped over him like that. And I can see that side of it. In fact, I think Kevin Love or somebody on the Cavs said that can be seen as a disrespectful thing, which I totally can. I can see that angle. Although if you break it down, he wasn't actually coming up when he actually started to step. I'm not saying Draymond put himself in the middle there on purpose either. He was trying to get up. Both of them were trying to get up to get back in the play. And I think that was a natural thing for both of them to do. I don't think Draymond got up out of nowhere and tried to, you know, stop him that way. But I also don't think LeBron stepped over him with intent to kind of Allen Iverson loo him. You know what I mean? I don't think that was the situation either, because if you look, they're both trying to get up and back into the play. But if you start on the ground, clearly, which you see this a lot, usually you'll hook the player with your foot or whatever you have. But if you're on the ground and your man's up, sometimes you're going to hold the person. So you're not like, well, where are you going? You know what I mean? You see that a lot. And Draymond did have a hold of his knee pad or whatever. And then he let go and he was going to get up. But LeBron at the same time was taking a step, and he actually took a larger step when he sensed him getting up. So I don't think he was purposely disrespect walking over it. If you really break it down, if you just watch it once or twice at a high speed, there's a couple of things on both sides where you could go, well, that kind of looks like, but if you break it down slow motion, see where their eyes are and all that, and where the play is, I think both of them were just trying to get up. I don't think either of them were purposely trying to disrespect each other in that moment. Obviously, once LeBron stepping over him, then I could see Green kind of getting a little bothered by it. I'm not going to say mad, but like, what the hell? But then again, what's he supposed to do? He was already in the step motion. You got up. So it was a kind of a combination. I think both of those sides there kind of got overblown by the media and fans, where they found air in both sides of the guys. To me, I think that was just a natural play as far as the getting up part. Now, clearly you could see Draymond swung his arm in that area. You don't get up swinging your arm. And then to top it off, he swung twice. Now, he didn't swing like a punch, and it was more like a – it probably would have turned out to be more of a shove in my mind, just because maybe a little bit of his hand was closed. It wasn't like he was throwing a full-on punch. It was more like a get-the-hell-off-me shove type thing. So I didn't see anything – overly, like, blatantly wrong even with the second swing. But I did think that he clearly was trying to hit him in the balls. I don't know. I don't think he actually got him. It doesn't seem like he got him. But he definitely – it seemed like he was trying to get it. And we know that he has a special, you know, spot to do that. He's done that. That's part of him. And he's a junkyard dog. So whoever wants to – kind of all of a sudden make Draymond Green into this villain. This is what sports are all about, and you're not going to find a championship team that doesn't have a junkyard dog on it. You know, it's easy to see if you're going against it how you get pissed. I can totally understand that, but I'm not going to sit here and take away from Draymond Green and what he does on the court. He's not just a dirty player that's beef in trying to get in people's heads. Sure, that's what he does, but he does so much more on the court. So I would never all of a sudden call him this thug. That's usually, you know, if he wasn't such a smiley guy, kind of a happy-go-lucky, funny dude on the court and off the court, I think he'd be, you know, people would be calling him a thug like crazy in the last couple of series. But I think his personality and his smile and all that, plus the love for this team, even though it has, you know, some haters building, like most championships teams do, a lot of people love him. You could tell by the ratings and all that and everything. You know, you could just tell. So I think Draymond, his other parts of his personality in his game, people respect it, and they also kind of think, like, he can run down the court and stick his tongue out to somebody, and it's not looked at as disrespectful. Which really, it probably is. It's just funny. So he gets away with it. You know what I mean? So if anybody's going to come out and call him a thug or call this, that, that's where I really draw the line. And I know it because of Kevin Garnett. You know what I mean? A lot of people, when he left here, would all of a sudden call him a thug and this and that. You know, and it was like, all right, man, you just don't like playing against him. It's fine. You know, you could take away all his other skills if you want and just call him that. But, you know, I just don't think that's fair. So, to me, Marshall, long story short, I wasn't going to be shocked because of the pooch punt from the previous series. But I was pretty much assuming he would get suspended on this one. I think it's kind of cut and dry to me. What are your thoughts here? And obviously, this is what's kind of cool about this show right now in Golden State, being the top team is, you know, you're actually a fan of them too. So it's kind of cool to get a fan's perspective, whether that be, you know, fueled by emotion or whether that be in seeing your club night in and night out and knowing certain facts about them and being able to spot things that people that don't watch them every night can clearly see. What are your thoughts here, man?
I'll say this first. When before the ruling came down, I had heard that if it would have been called a flagrant two, he would have missed game five and potentially six, which scared the heck out of me. I'm fine with the one game suspension, as you said. He broke a rule. It wasn't like the NBA just gave him the suspension. If you rack up so many technicals and flagrants, you get in trouble. The hands in the cookie jar. Yeah, it added up. So it's hard to argue this one. The Steven Adams thing, I didn't think that deserved one. This constant repeat, I'm not going to say this is a bad call, but I'm happy that it wasn't given a flagrant two, which would result in two games. I think that would be a little bit over the top.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question real quick? When you say he doesn't deserve a suspension, or because did you say that he meant to do that?
Yeah, but for the Steven Adams thing, yes. But now that there have been repeat moments, I'm not upset at all. I think this one's deserved. I don't think he deserved one back then, but now I'm completely fine with this one. Yeah. It's happened more than once. He's racked up his appropriate amount of he's racked up enough flagrants and fees to deserve it. So that's rule of law. I don't think the Warriors were too surprised by that. But also, you know, from his perspective, I would have probably done the same thing. I'll never forget playing pickup basketball and just when I was in college a couple of years ago, and this dude stuck out his knee at me, like when I was driving for a layup. And this is just harmless, like a two-credit class in college while playing basketball. And I was super pissed the next hour because I was like, dude, you know, you bust knees with someone, that can seriously hurt you. It's kind of like you don't do that. And I'd be just as mad if a guy, like, stood up pretty much, put his crotch over me, put his leg over me. Like, that's a little slap in the face. I guess it depends how you view, but I thought LeBron was kind of, that was a douchey move. So to expect Draymond to get up and not do anything, well, that's probably not going to happen. Maybe that's LeBron baiting him, which was smart on LeBron's part. But yeah,
so was he supposed to go backwards and go away from the play at that moment, though?
You dragged
because he was going towards the play. He was going to. He actually took a step before Draymond even got up. If you do watch it,
I thought it was on purpose. To me, it looked on purpose to kind of drag his leg over his head. Yeah, that would bother me. So from how I saw it,
but I'm asking you personally about the replay. He stepped before Draymond's head started going up. So once again, was he supposed to go backwards, or where was he supposed to go to get back in the play? I'm just asking.
I think he could have gone backwards or hopped to the side. He's LeBron. He's athletic. He didn't need to drag his leg over Draymond's head, yeah.
He dragged his leg? Did you see his first step? He put it higher than you'd normally step. I mean, break it down like this. I just watched the damn play so many times.
I'd be bothered by it, too, though. If a guy did that to me, I'd be pissed. Like, a guy just kind of picked his leg up over your head. And to me, it looked like he was kind of taunting him a little. And that's how I viewed it. And so I'm not surprised Draymond got up and, you know, kind of punched him. Again, stupid. He should have kept his emotions in check. But it's Draymond Green. And clearly him and LeBron are having words in this series, too. So, you know, that was another bit of the media about apparently, you know, Draymond called him a bad word and LeBron's feelings were hurt. I mean, we won't get on that topic because I'd be wasting more time on this debate. But it's like, dude, people are going to talk crap on the court. LeBron's like, you know, some men are – actually, we might as well bring this up quick. Like, he called him the B word. He called him a bitch. And apparently LeBron's like, there's certain codes.
We don't know what he said. We think. There's been no official this is what he called him.
Well, okay. All right, well –
there's no camera that shows it is what I'm saying, Marshall. You know, we don't know what he said.
He said something to him, and it made it look because LeBron's like, "There's
something is
I'm
not
a family
bitch,
man,
though,
I
is it?" That's what I'm saying. He said something, but we can't say that word because we don't know it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, that's true. That's what the report said, though. But apparently, he swore at LeBron. LeBron's like, "Well, I'm a family man. There's lines you don't cross, and all this." It's like, really, LeBron? Like, I mean, I think people talk crap. Well, one of the most, and this is not always directed to people, KG said the MF word 10, 15 times a game. Like, people swear in basketball. So for him to make up this almighty, I'm a family man, I have morals and ethics, and I have kids, like, I don't believe in talking trash. Come on. I don't know what made LeBron say that, but you can't tell me that LeBron's never cursed at someone. Chris Paul.
He didn't say he said a swear word at me and it offended me. He didn't say that. He didn't say he used a cuss word and I didn't like that. I'm an ethics man. He didn't say that. He said he said something. We don't know what he said, Marshall. It could have been actually even more. It could have been something that Garnett would say about a girlfriend or something.
Yeah,
didn't Garnett talk about Jerry Oates or some shit like that? What did he say to? He said something about the Carmelo.
He made a cancer joke. I'm a family man with morals. Like, just dude. People
talk
trash
to
the NBA. Like,
actually, he never said that about KG, and KG probably called him everything in the book. I'm just saying, when you say it was a bitch or it's a swear word, I think that's kind of falsely reporting it because we don't know what he said. So why would he all of a sudden get upset out of nowhere when he's been shit talked his whole career and he's never said anything like this? So I'm just saying. Can he get a little of the benefit of the doubt, too? Maybe he did say something that was cross. Like, hey, I'm not going to say anything. Because
sure.
I want to keep it safe. I almost really slipped up there, actually.
Okay, who knows? I guess it's weird to see that timing comment. But I don't know. Clearly those two have been going back and forth. So I guess to kind of wrap this thing up, like, you know, LeBron got in his head. Draymond's been talking crap back, whatever he said. It's developed into a little bit of a story. And aside from all that, the end factor is that Draymond Green's not going to be on the court tonight. I just saw on ESPN he's going to watch the game at a suite where the Oakland Athletics play, the professional baseball team, which is literally kitty corner, parking lot, sharing arena. And it said that if they do win tonight, he's allowed to be in the stadium immediately once the game is over to celebrate. We had talked about this last night, and I didn't know that if you are suspended, I thought you were allowed to be in the arena. I could get maybe not being allowed to be on the bench, which, yeah, that's fine. I get that because that's part of the game. Kind of like if you get thrown out of a baseball game, you have to go back in the locker room. Like, you can't watch in the dugout. Like, that makes sense.
Sure,
but I didn't know
the NFL,
actually,
you can't report to the – you can't be on the facility. You can't practice that whole week either in the NFL. You can't even be at the facility.
Okay, yeah, I guess that is new to me. It makes sense, but I thought that maybe Draymond could, like, watch the game in the locker room. But so yeah, but they say he's allowed to come back after the game. That's fine. But nonetheless, aside from the, whether he swore, what he said, whether LeBron left his knee over him on purpose, kind of mocked him a little bit, or whatever the hell happened, he's out of the game. And to me, I'm a little scared about it. There was a nice article written by the Ethan Strauss, who's the Golden Knights beat writer for ESPN. He talked about this as fuel and motivation for the team. All the players are obviously supporting him and kind of coming to his back and saying, you know, we're going to win this one for you, Draymond. There was quite a few quotes from Klay Thompson. Most Bates had some things to say. Curry kind of took a little bit of a high road and didn't say much. But nonetheless, this seems to be fuel and motivation. The spread in Vegas went down a point, and that could easily be from people betting. That isn't necessarily a Draymond Green factor. But to me, you don't replace that guy. I'm sure that people maybe who are analytical could find stats and like this, and this for this matchup. I don't give two craps about stats. How he
does
on the court versus
what you're saying. All the stats are exactly what you're saying. It actually is, you know, totally not a good thing for them.
Well, it is, but to me it's more than the stats, Chris. I would put just his personality is number one. So let me preface that by saying I believe him as a person and what he does for that team and the way he plays, it to me is what came to me first as a Golden State fan. You know, there's been times where we've had timeouts this year, playoffs or regular season. He talks to people on the bench and he motivates them. Sometimes Kurt just says, dude, I'll let you have the show. He's got that fire personality. Klay Thompson, I love the guy. Dude don't say much. His interviews are short. He's kind of got that occasional
except
little
grin.
Except
in the press conferences after the game.
even on the court, you don't see – I mean, obviously the dude wants to win, but he's not that fiery guy. Steph, he's the motivational guy, but he kind of feeds off Draymond. I think this is a bigger factor having him off the court than people think. You can't replace his defense. He's clearly a guy that plays on average probably 28 to 30 minutes in the playoffs this far, right around there, probably no less. I'm just saying ballpark. Yeah, probably closer to 32 to 34. I didn't look up exactly, but he's a contributor. He's a guy that can cause problems for people boxing out. He does good to defend rebounds. He's one of our best switch defenders. I'm not saying like
best passer.
Great passer too. And the dude can hit the three. Cleveland tested him game two, and he went off for 28. He tried to become a splash person. I'm just a little more worried because you just don't replace your team leader. Klay Thompson and Curry could easily go off tonight. They could easily win the title. It's possible. And I'm not saying on the other end to go and bet Cleveland because the Warriors are going to fold. I think this is a team that has more they're a hell of a team. This team hates to lose. They got the vets. They got it all. But you just don't replace a guy like him. So maybe, obviously, Iguodala gets more minutes. Curry's going to have to make a couple of decisions. You know, how does he necessarily match up on defense with set people and do this and that. But overall, I'm a little more concerned than other people. His fire and the way he plays defense and the way he kind of gets the team going, no one on the team can really replace that. And that's not something you fake either. That personality Draymond has is just that's how he is. And he's going to get in people's heads and he's going to maybe throw an elbow, but he's also going to maybe be the first guy that gets to a loose ball in the court or not be afraid to kind of bump LeBron and get in his head or try to anyway. So I think it's a little more than people worried about. As a Golden State fan, this is definitely kind of a knock towards us, which I don't think is quite as replaceable as what I've read today. Now, on the other hand, Chris, I'll throw this back to you. Clearly, this is motivation. This is kind of a us against them thing. You know, the Golden State fans or players thought that LeBron guilt him into this. So whether that's true or not, that's motivation for them to kind of step up and win this game for their teammate. One more point that I'll toss to you. I think my biggest thing is I would love to see Draymond Green on the court. And then that, to me, just sucks. I know the rules, and I won't argue with suspension, but for all this guy's done for us this year, God, it would just suck. Just from a sport perspective, not whining or asking skill return, but I'd love to see him on the court once this game got over if we win tonight. So just from a personal 2 cents, that kind of sucks. What is your mindset? Do you think that he's a big factor? Do you think that this is something he motivates him from? Do you think that Kerr can make a couple of matchup decisions that doesn't make him as big of a loss? What's your overall take on Draymond Green watching the game at the ballpark next door tonight?
Well, I mean, you can't break the rules because you want somebody on the court. You know, you just follow it. And it doesn't matter if it's Draymond or Kevin Durant or anybody. You know, it's a rule. And,
just from a
and
fan
he did
perspective.
Punch somebody in the balls. So, I mean, clearly he should, you know, he added up the amount to get suspended, and it's a just suspension. Clearly, it's no cut and dry, you know, or it is cut and dry. No, I don't have a problem with him. I don't have a problem with him not being able to, because he's not anybody, there's nobody special enough to not change the rules or whatever, you know, that's just how it goes. It's out-of-school suspension's out-of-school suspension. You know what I mean? So that's his own fault. He should have, if you know, he just shouldn't have thrown that extra little shot, and he'd have been able to play. So I don't have a problem with that at all. But as far as him, yeah, I mean, of course, you know, if you followed sports enough out there, right, there is that rally cry. So I wouldn't be surprised nor shocked if they get it done because of their depth. When you can just bring in Iguodala, that does help things a little bit. You know, you bring in a guy that was the MVP last year. You know, so that does help right off the bat. But it will affect them. And I don't know what you're reading that said they're not going to miss him as much, or maybe there's an article lately or whatever, but any numbers that I've seen have skewed completely to they need Draymond on the court. You know what I mean? I think personally he's the MVP this year so far, as far as this series. I shouldn't say the year. That was kind of misleading. This series, I think he's been the most important part. Maybe the scoring in some of these games hasn't been super high, but still the guy, the all purpose, you know, the all purpose play of this guy, and also what he has to do on the other side of things too. So no, it's definitely a big piece. But the one thing is, he's not injured, so it's not like he's gone for the season or something. Then it would be like, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? That's a major factor. But I do think the fact that there is that rallying point, and they are at home, so obviously they're going to feel comfortable, and you know that crowd's going to be into it. So I think all that contributes to them possibly being able to get it done without him. No doubt about it. I really think that they could do it, but it is a key loss because, like I said, I do think he is the MVP for them thus far. But before we get into predicting tonight, let's spend a little time talking about the last game and really the last two games, basically since our last show. So it was 2-0. That second game was just out of hand. I mean, very just dominant performance by Golden State. And, of course, and thank God game four was a competitive gosh darn game. Because I was thinking, are you kidding me? Because I remember actually saying this a couple times to several people. You know, if I could have just got a really good game in game three and a really good game in game four, and it was a sweep as a fan, I would have been just happy because you got some good games. You know what I mean? I'm okay. You know me, I'm a good game guy unless it's, you know, in this case, the Timberwolves. But
yeah, you mentioned this last show too. I remember.
Yeah, that's what I was like, please, just give me something. And then game three happened, and I'm like, are you freaking kidding me, dude? Like, what the hell is going on in these playoffs? And you start to look back, and when it happens two times to a team like Golden State, that tells you something's funky in these playoffs in general. It's out of hand. I just couldn't believe it. But as far as Cleveland, that game, they played great, both sides of the ball. I thought they're moving the ball again, which is something that we'll get into game four in that fourth quarter. They didn't get completely shut down, but second half in general, but especially fourth quarter, the ball didn't move all of a sudden those last maybe 7-8 minutes, but we'll get into that. But game three, they played just all-purpose ball, and what do you know? You know, Kevin Love didn't play in the game, and what do you know? Their defensive tightened up and all that, and we talked about what kind of adjustment, if there isn't a Love, what will that mean for Cleveland? And that can't help for next year. Let's just put it that way. You know what I mean? I don't really know what's going to go on in that situation. But, you know, since that signing happened a couple of years ago, it's been a hot topic on our show, that's for sure, because obviously
the Minnesota ties and all that.
But
I'm happy you brought that up.
And so they played phenomenal all-purpose. Obviously, the three started dropping, but it was really that defense and the ball movement that I saw. And also, at some point, I know we had a disagreement on game one and game two and the difference of defense, but at some point, Cleveland has to start to get a little bit of credit for the first three games of the Splash Brothers. The stats don't lie. What I'm seeing in my when I'm watching the game doesn't lie. They're doing a good job trapping them. They're doing a good job doubling them. They're doing a good job just making it rough for them and say, you know what, you guys aren't beating us. These other dudes are gonna. And sure enough, you know, in game two and in game four, well, not game four, but game two, that was the situation. In game one as well. If you look at that first 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, that was the game, 15-0 run right there. And that wasn't the Splash Brothers doing it. So at some point, we do have to give some credit to some of the defense as far as on the Splash Brothers, because when you look at their numbers in the first four games or first three games, it's pretty impressive. And I think that's saying it very lightly when you're talking about the Splash Brothers too, the combination of making them shoot for a kind of poor percentage or just not having them get their shots off and having to give the ball up. Game four, though, finally, and I'll let you talk about game three as well. I'm not just going to, you know, do it all and then go to you. I'll let you get into it as well, and we'll kind of conversate into four and what you were going to say about Love and all that, too. And they made that, which isn't that surprising, the game four, they said, you know what, we're going to keep the same lineup, and we're going to bring Love off the bench, which is something that we even talked about last year, but we talked about it this year as well, heading in that, you know, a guy that is such an offensive focal guy and kind of needs, it seems like he is more effective when he gets more touches, which a lot of guys are like that offensively, of course. But to me, it does make more sense to bring him off the, you know, to bring offense off the bench. And so I think, you know, from here on, we're going to find out how that flows, not just in this series, but, you know, the coming years as well. But game four, man, I was so happy because we got ourselves a fun, good, competitive, back-and-forth game. And you're like, all right, here we go. And finally, we actually had a score that was close in anybody's game. in the fourth quarter, and not just a couple minutes in, but a healthy chunk into the fourth quarter. And I hate to break a Dame down like this, but Marshall, I guess I'm just so excited that the game was on the table with 7 minutes left. It's like, hey, even though it didn't, you know, you could look at the last score and go, oh, I mean, final score, they pretty much handled them, right? 29-20 in that, you know, in that fourth quarter. But really, the whole game, I thought, was just fairly well played. Golden State's their field goal percentage was low, but their threes were high. 17 threes out of 36. That's a pretty damn good percentage. They also got to the free throw line and made them too for 80%. Which, you know, when you got some bigs in there as well, that kind of messes that up. So down the stretch for me, I thought that you started to see the ball kind of get stuck. You did see some turnovers. You did see Kyrie kind of, I forgot how many they said, if it was nine or I don't know. But there was a bunch of, there was too many times in the fourth quarter where he dribbled the ball pretty much the whole time and then took the shot or turned the ball over, whichever. There was some late turnovers by him and James and I guess some other people too. But, you know, those were the focal point of the offense in general. I just thought that Golden State down the stretch, you know, just played a lot better, more fundamental basketball. And then we got the Splash Brothers to start splashing, and Curry came back with 38 points and 6 assists and didn't have all those turnovers that we've seen out of him of late. He really had a hell of a game. Both him and Thompson, I thought, played really well. Green, yeah, he was 2-9. He only got 9 points, but if you look at the other stuff he did on that court, man, he played really well. I just think it came down to they closed stronger on defense. They moved the ball on offense, and also Curry just started going off. And same with Thompson, man. I was really impressed with about the last 8 minutes or so of that game. I mean, a fun, close game, but the Warriors really just executed down the stretch like they tend to do.
Okay, so I'll get my off the court things in quick, and then we'll talk about the game. But and you might, if we had a tape recorder, or if we were like a national podcast, you'd want to record this because I've never said this. I've never really come to Kevin Love's side. But
we are recording,
my God,
it.
Chris.
We are recording it, so no shit.
Well, can we double record? Can we, like, put this on the, like, the podcast and, like, write a script so I can email it to you after?
can get the transcript from this thing.
I want this shit to be labeled so we're going to have a beer 20 years from now. I'll be like, remember the time we did a podcast and you were all giving Kevin Love a break? I'm giving this guy a break. I know that Twitter and media has changed in our lifetime, but in my opinion, the reaction of just insanity, of just people going over the top, like crazy, like jumping off, like the high dive, splashing into a pool, and then doing it again, the madness of people thinking that Richard Jefferson, a guy who's a good player, the dude's a vet, he had a good game, was going to be this piece that led Cleveland to come back and possibly win the series. I honestly felt bad for Kevin Love. I get that the guy's got his defensive issues. Personality isn't the best. You know, he did come.
Meanwhile, you were the one ripping him prior to the series, but we won't get into that.
To
win the series is against him, but, you know, whatever. But you are making a good point, though. You are making a good point
about
reaction.
But as a person,
the
reaction that, and this made me laugh too, that people thought Richard Jefferson was, because in my opinion, I know I'm a biased fan as a Warriors fan, but the media, man, did they flip a switch quick. After game 3, you'd have thought that this series is back on, even money, Cavs kicked their butt. They got a chance for game 4. Richard Jefferson's the piece. Let's go. And I get that you want to make a storyline. If you're a Cleveland fan, you're probably the opposite of me. But my God, I mean, though, well, I remember watching ESPN shows. Well, did K I get the subs and the matchups, but Richard Jefferson.
Well, wait a second. Don't talk about benching, because you did say that there was a time when you even thought about two of them. You thought two of them are the starting lineup.
But
bringing him off the bench isn't the craziest thing now.
Well, I heard people say I was going to finish, like, not even let him play. Like, really limited minutes. But, man, just the snap reaction of, oh, God, Richard Jefferson, he's the piece. I was thinking to myself, all right, you know, we're Golden State. My team is Golden State. If Richard Jefferson is going to be the catalyst that keeps us from winning a title, game on. Let's go. That was just kind of my spin I saw.
It's not like he was a piece, but he did add to the defense.
No,
they clearly were better at defense.
He did, but that quick little love to overreact deal snuck into me, and I just saw it a lot and heard reports. And then I go to work after game three the next day, and I see on PTI, is Stephen Curry failing the Warriors? Failing is a strong word. I mean, like you said, he's been limited, but just I almost, Chris, this is my last take on this. I wish SportsCenter was more like it was back when we were little. And I know it's not going to change, but the lengths these people go to for clickbait and storylines and to pull quotes out of perception, it's just dumb. I you know me, we love sports probably more than percent of guys. Like that's our true passion, one of our passions in life. I just hate how the media just tries so hard now to switch stuff and make comments out of stories that aren't really true, and it's just dumb. So aside from all that, Kevin Love, I mean, you know, Kyrie gets a free pass, in my opinion. Kyrie's defense sucks just as much, and he doesn't pass the ball that much. They had a stat after game two, LeBron only made one basket off a direct Kyrie pass to a shot. And, man, Kevin Love, I end of the rant, but, man, that dude takes a lot of beating for a guy in Kyrie who's seemingly gets a free pass from the media and kind of does whatever the hell he wants to do and gets away with it. But nonetheless, the Richard Jefferson.
Well, I think Curry at times gets a free pass, though, too, from the media, because think about this. Through three games, if LeBron was averaging what he averaged and was playing the way he played, how bad do you think he would have got it?
That's true, and that's why I still think that at the end of the day, I know Curry's won MVPs. You know, LeBron still is the best in the league. Nothing crazy. Like he's still the top dog.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me of one more point. Then I'll get back to the games. I promise. You know, I do feel bad for LeBron because this dude, you know, has been to six straight finals. The dude's given all he got, and he just doesn't have the caliber this year to help him. But a counterpoint that was made that I did forget about was he has kind of done the hand-picking roster deal, and I know you love KG. He got flack in that for a while in Minneapolis because people said he kind of handpicked free agents, and not all of them worked out well. I don't know the details as much.
There was no handpicking free agents. We didn't have free agents to handpick, Marshall. It was about keeping guys after they made a bad deal, like Hudson. Well, yeah, after you let Charlie and a couple guys go, yeah, we got to keep him. Don't let these guys. It wasn't handpicking free agents. We didn't have that kind of thing. I wish we did. But people didn't want to come here. We didn't have choices we could get that guy. Let's get a top 10 player. That wasn't in the books.
Okay. Well, I would say the media in general would say that KG at times would try to pick who he wants to come. Now, whether or not that's true, that was just kind of a perception.
It's not about whether it's not true, Marshall. It wasn't about picking who came here. It was about keeping players. That's what it was about.
Okay.
Let's make that clear here. It's not
okay,
if he had that choice, that would have been awesome. But that wasn't in the book.
Okay. Well, maybe I was a little uninformed on that. But that to me, that was maybe just a perception of his past and whether it's not true or not. Okay, my bad. But LeBron has kind of done his thing here too. This is the guy that wrote the letter to not have Wiggins. This is the guy that told the office he wants Tristan Thompson to come back. So as bad as I do feel for LeBron, there's a scary road and – whether it's not true, and you know this more than most people, but the reputation of a player kind of picking people, like Garnett's been labeled slightly, true or not, and LeBron.
Dude, you're totally off on the Garnett thing, dude. You don't know what you're talking about here.
I've always heard that, though.
You didn't have a pick of your litter, dude. There was never a situation of a love situation of a pick of a litter of a guy averaging 26 and 14. There was no such thing as a 26-14 guy that wanted to come here. I wish
but
you
did he ever go
that.
To the office
it's
and say...
Yeah, it's about keeping Troy Hudson after they got rid of Chauncey Billups. Yeah, he did say, can we at least keep this guy? Can we at least keep...
Okay.
Because there was no other option. It's not that
okay,
he was picking, well, I want this stud or that stud. It had nothing to do with it. Don't bring KG
okay.
into this one.
Well, all right, that's fine. That's been overblown more than it should be. But nonetheless, LeBron's done that too, and I think that's kind of the kind of hurt him. You know, I think there's a fine line of being a player and kind of handpicking who you want to stay on the team. So, on one hand, I do feel for LeBron because he's got a very uphill battle trying to win this title. But on the other hand, you know, when you do start picking your own people, some of that comes back on you. For game three, as you said, they got their ass kicked. Curry's body language was awful. He committed fouls where I was just kind of shaking my head. I'm like, dude, why are you trying to strip LeBron when he's driving to the hoop? Like, it was bad. And they came out flat. I think the Warriors had, like, 6 points within, like, with 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. And I was like, this ain't going well. Then the bench came in, who was, as you've highlighted, has been one of the underlining terms of the whole series. They actually brought the game back to 7 at half. Game three, and then the second half, Cleveland just wasn't going to lose. Kyrie was kind of just doing 8 crossovers at the top of the key and busting threes. J.R. Smith made an appearance, so yeah. Game four, because this was – once the game was close in the near halftime, I just had a feeling we weren't going to lose. As long as we avoided the getting our butt kicked twice in a row like we did in Oklahoma City, which I didn't think was going to happen again because Cleveland's not nearly the team Oklahoma City is. I wasn't really concerned. I knew that if we had this team in a close game with the way we played defense, and especially with the fact that Curry and Clay were getting shots, I wasn't nervous. I know it sounds arrogant, but I knew coming down the stretch, if we were close in Cleveland, we were going to win the game. And Clay and Steph hit threes. I know Iggy hit a couple of clutch threes, which was no shock to us. Harrison Barnes had a nice day. If Draymond was playing tonight, I would start getting my champagne on ice. It'll be a little bit tougher, but I'm happy they bounced back the way they did. A part of me was a little bit scared. I'm like, man, are we really going to repeat the Oklahoma City get smoked on the road back-to-back nights? No. We picked it back up. Clearly played with a lot better effort. Bogut, after game three, said we played like shit. And obviously no joke there. But it wasn't a relapse of, well, we're not going to give him another
game. He was like a no-show in that game. It's kind of weird. I think the smaller lineup worked for him in that game.
Yeah, you know, people are saying
I think they made the adjustment because of the smaller lineup from Cleveland.
Yeah, and I think he is just kind of getting older. Like, you know, he clearly started off game two super hot. It would be insane to say that, you know, he's not a large part of this team. Because I know come playoff times, Chris, we seem to go more of a smaller ball lineup, but come regular season, you know, Bogut's been there as a perimeter defender, or excuse me, as a rim protector.
I was going to say, now, come on now. But hold on. Let's not do this.
I switched up the three-point line for the hoop, but but I know he kind of it has been resorted to kind of right on the bench a little bit more. They say he's maybe even dinged up a little. I know his knees probably can't go nonstop every time, but regular season, that dude's
played
10
minutes.
Off, so
it's kind of weird. And no foul trouble. He played 10 minutes in the last game.
I think it's
a small lineup. You know, that Cleveland, they were kind of small too, if you think about it. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah, he must just be a matchup that benefits him the most. But I do enjoy at least seeing him on the court because that dude's been. I know a lot of people maybe only watch playoff basketball. So maybe if you're a mild fan or more of like a playoff fan, you're probably thinking, dude, well, Bogut really? Like, does the guy do that much when he played 10 minutes a game? He's a large reason we're here. The dude protects the rim and is one of the craftiest people at committing a foul not getting called for in the league. So it does kind of suck to see his role diminish as a Golden State fan because I think the media kind of comes at him. It's like, well, I guess that's fair. But if you're to watch regular season, our defense isn't one of the best defenses in the league.
Regular season, but the regular season was is what home court's all about. So that has to mean something.
Exactly. There's a reason we have the best defense in the league, and Andrew Bowles is a large part of it. But I just felt game four. I was like, dude, I remember telling myself this was like 5 minutes ago in the second quarter. I was like, this game's close. We're not getting the doors blown off us. We're gonna win. I know that's arrogant. That's cocky. But just in my mind, I close game. I liked our chances, and the Splash Brothers came through. And man, did they hit some threes! When they get hot, they get hot, and it was a beautiful thing.
Are you gonna give credit to the first three games though in the Splash Brothers averages? Are you gonna ever give credit to Cleveland for the Splash Brothers? I'm holding you to it.
I was thinking about
this. Three games is not a fluke.
I'm going 50-50 on this, Chris. Okay?
I knew it. This is awesome.
Part of me says the defense.
Well, part of you said
great.
That Cleveland sucks at defense, so you can't go the other way now because you said it like a week ago. So it would just, be so against what you said, kind of like Oklahoma City getting swept.
I did a little research for once. I wrote down some stats before this show was over because I knew you were going to come at me at this. So I looked up every Golden State loss they've had in the last 2 years of playoffs, and I wanted to see the three-point shooting percentages. Because as a Golden State fan, just excluding our basketball well-rounded show, as a Golden State fan, part of me wants to say to Chris, we have the best two shooters in basketball. If they have an off night, some of that's defense, some of it is Clay just didn't, hit his shots. Kind of like a golfer. If you miss your putts, you miss them.
Three games in a row.
So good. Clay Thompson, and Curry, like, as a Golden State fan, I'm like, dude had an off night. It happens. You can't always be hot from three. What they do, you can't compare it. Curry had over 400 threes.
Yeah, but they
Clay
weren't
Thompson
jacking
threes
though and missing them. They didn't put up 22 shots apiece. Curry was like 6 of 13. It wasn't even bad shooting. He just couldn't get his shot off.
I said this was my Golden State perspective, not the well-rounded NBA. So easy. As a fan, when they have an off night, you're thinking, dude, part of it's the defense, part of it's the boys had an off night. From a true perspective, yes, I'll give them credit. I honestly thought that in Game 3, Chris, that Klay Thompson was going to do what he did against Oklahoma City and say, I don't care who you are, I'm going to bring us back in this game, which he did twice and was scored one in Game 5 and scored 19 points in a row in Game 3. So, or Game 6, excuse me, for Clay. So, he hasn't done that yet. And I thought that's why I was
you've
gonna
given me a sentence of credit so far.
Three games in a row.
They didn't miss all their threes like they were jacking them all day long. 6 of 13. He wasn't getting his shot off. So no credit beyond, there's some credit. Come on, Marshall. Three games in a row, the Splash Brothers, dude. They held them to 28 points a game for three straight games. Clearly they had a game plan, and clearly for what that did, it made the role players stand up. And, they're a deep enough team, but, hey, who would you rather have, those two or the other guys? Well, I'd say those two you'd rather not have shooting those threes. Now, it worked that one game that Draymond three-wise went off, but he was just 0-4 in his last game from three. So are you really – you're going to give him just a sentence? Come on, man. This is something that you couldn't have anticipated.
They've done very well on Curry. I think that the way Clay has been going on, I think if he has a cold night, it's a cold night because of him.
Three games in a row.
They've done a great job on Curry. I'll give you a compliment. They've done well on Curry. Clay, he's just had cold nights. I'll go there.
Three straight games in a row, he had cold nights. Okay.
At least
I got something out of you, though. At least I got – so I got to take that. That's all right. At least I got something out of you. But for the rest of the people listening to this, the Cleveland has done a good job, team and individual, of containing and actually in those first three games, more than containing. When you hold them to 29 or 28 points, it's ridiculous. It's a very good job, a great job at defense, and it's clear. It's clear that that's how it is, and that's their game plan, and they did it. Now, in the end, they're still down, no doubt about it, but you got to give them a ton of credit for containing them. I mean, it's obvious. So tonight,
so
what are you thinking?
Mentioning that, Chris.
Because we have five minutes left in the show, so we're not going to talk about last year or Oklahoma City and Clay. And Clay, Clay scores when he wants to. Nobody can stop him. You know, we got to get to this, the nuts and bolts here.
All right. Well, okay, so this is a nuts and bolts question.
I asked you
this
question.
Defense, which you said,
like, you're not going to answer mine, then? Go ahead.
I didn't hear you. Go ahead. Go ahead and say it. I didn't hear it.
I said, so what's going to happen tonight? Let's get to the predictions. We got 4 minutes left.
Okay. God. I'm torn, man. And I know this was the arrogant guy that said 15 minutes into game two, game four, it was done because it was close. I just think the Draymond factor is huge. You know, with this lockdown defense you've just mentioned, they can lock down now even more. Because say what you want about Draymond, he's had ups and downs in the playoffs. The dude is an incredible passer, and he helps them very well motion that offense. He is the go-to guy for pick and rolls. You don't often see them do a pick and roll with Steph and Clay. That's not how the offense is met. You're meant to do a pick and roll with Draymond and Steph or Draymond and Clay, and let the other Splash Brother run around and feed him. So, I think we win. Honestly, I'm torn, man.
He means Golden State out there, just so you know.
Yeah, sir. I want the Warriors to win. That's my team. But I really think that him is going to be a huge X factor, because to be on your side of this deal for once, they have played defense good on the Splash Brothers, as you've said. That can be even
better
tonight.
It's not my side. It's what's happening on the court. That's not my side. It's what's happening on the court.
That can be even better defense night, because if you were to list the issues you want to stop, it probably goes Steph and Clay 1 and 2, and then, Harrison Barnes ain't going to drop 40 on you to beat you. I love him too, being a Tar Heel fan, but you know, I think they can take this defense and really even harp deeper on Clay and Steph. I'll say that Iguodala hits about as many clutch threes as any guy in basketball, but he's also not going to be chucking up 10 or 11 of them. I think this is a big factor, and I'm really going to be curious to see how it plays out. I want the Dubs to win, but Draymond's hard to fix, so maybe the home court pushes us through it, Chris, but I'm torn, man. I'm not gonna bet on it. I'll maybe wait till the halftime. I just don't know what to expect. When you base your offense around him, he's the guy's not strictly based offense, but when he's a large part of your pick and roll, and
he's
he passes the ball when he plays
D. He's the point guard, too.
Yeah.
Really. When push comes to
shove. So much to fix. And if Cleveland can dial up a good defensive plan to even attack the Splash Brothers even more, I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens. This is an X factor to the game, obviously, unfortunately for Golden State, but it is what it is. I don't know. What is your take on this? I'm hoping for a win, but I wouldn't be confident to bet on it necessarily.
Well, you know, in this weird and wacky playoffs, I was going to tell everyone not to listen to me, but I was actually going to pick, because of this frickin' doesn't make sense at times playoffs so far this year, I was actually going to go out on a limb and pick Cleveland, not before Draymond, you know, because we were planning on doing this show for a while. We just couldn't, you know, things came up and we couldn't get it on. But I was actually going to say that, and I know a lot of people, if Cleveland did win game five, then they go, oh, they got game six at home. But I was going to say that they completely surprise everybody before Draymond was suspended and beat them and then lose on their home floor just randomly. Just because when you watch sports enough and you start to feel a trend and you go, although this is against everything I think's going to happen tonight because Golden State has the momentum, they're at home, they will win. I was going to pick Cleveland and then they'll lose on their home court, which would be another thing that I think people wouldn't think would happen all of a sudden because they go, oh, they got the momentum, and, you know, kind of like the next day stuff, how it always happens in sports, especially when you get, excuse me, you know, down to the nitty-gritty where you have these two-day breaks where that's all the talk is. Whatever, it's positive or negative, they're just going to run with that, and it does turn. The tides turn like crazy. We've seen it a handful of times so far, but I don't know, man. I wouldn't be surprised if Golden State did it because of that rallying cry.
Sure.
But
sure.
I kind of feel like the Cavs are going to find a way to get it done because of what Draymond does on the court all purpose. It's a tough one, but I do think actually Cleveland will find a way to get it done. And as far as I don't know what you're doing tomorrow, but if Golden State wins it, we're probably going to want to do a show quick because we wouldn't want to do a show like 4 days later. Hey, they won, you know what I mean? So if Golden State wins it, it'd be nice to do that tomorrow, whereas if Cleveland won it, sure, we could, you know, that wouldn't be a shocker with Draymond out, and then we could have a little time, maybe do one on Thursday previewing that game just to kind of throw a heads up for the audience and you and I, because I do have to skedaddle here and get to work here and get
yeah.
a shower.
Can I ask you one question and we'll wrap it up?
Yeah.
So, you know, you texted me last night saying that Iguodala can kind of do what Draymond does, and I think your point's fair that you can sub him in. But I didn't say he can do what he does.
I just said it is nice to have a bat in there. I didn't say he does what
yeah.
he does. I'm just saying, to put Iggy in the lineup, it's not the craziest thing for him. They had to do it to win it last year. So I think it's a natural fit as far as they're not going to be uncomfortable with him on the floor. But I didn't say he did what he does.
No, I was going to kind of drag that out a little bit more. But yeah, I think that I just don't know I'm trying to think. I'll shut up. I'll start it over again. Okay, you made that point last night, which obviously makes sense. Iguodala is going to get a lot more playing time. I just wonder who's going to be that third guy that shoots the most. Because a lot of people knock Harrison. They're like, this is Golden State people. They're just saying sometimes he's not mentally as tough. Maybe this is his game to shine. Maybe this is his time to come on. And not that Harrison Barnes is a bad player. He's probably going to get a fat paycheck for free agency.
No, I know what you're saying. He's going to be that passive.
Yeah, there's guys knocking for maybe not always being aggressive and not always being locked in mentally. Not that he doesn't try, but he takes some hits from the media for his mental game that I don't really recall anyone else on the Warriors ever taking. So, if the Warriors do win, it'll be fun to see who is the step up guy. You know, because you're going to need more than Steph and Clay, unless Steph and Clay just drop 70, which I guess could happen. So it'll be fun to see who that X factor is. I couldn't believe that frickin' McAdoo was on the court. I mean, I'm getting to talk about all my Tar Heels, but Kerr is definitely not minded using McAdoo and Varejao, who is a Cleveland fan. You're thinking, really? Those guys are on the court playing against us? So, nonetheless, if we do a show tomorrow, I might be a little hungover. I don't want to ruin the show. I will bring full effort, but I do have a bottle of champagne in my fridge. So I'm hoping that gets popped tonight. And my last comment of the show, I want to see them win the title at home. I know it's nitpicky, but it would just be fun. I don't care where they win, but like last night, the Stanley Cup was won for Pittsburgh. They've won 4 Stanley Cups, they've never won one at home. And so I just hope that, because last year they won in Cleveland too, so I'm hoping they can win on their home court and let the fans embrace, because those Golden State fans have been going to games for the last 25, 30 years, and they were sucking for a lot of those years. So we will see. Chris,
I don't know if it's
maybe
the same
tomorrow.
Golden State fans, by the way, that are going today and went then, but okay.
Well, you know, dad's
they
now
crossed
taking
the bridge
son.
All of a sudden, is what I'm saying. I don't think they were crossing the bridge over and over the last 30 years. Let's be honest.
They've always had a very good attendance for a team that normally for a while there was pretty bad. So
I'm just saying the
fans who
seats are different people than they used to be. That's all. Because they're winning for the money.
That's a fair point. You're right on that. I'm hoping Draymond is running his butt from Oakland Athletics game to Golden State tonight. But Chris and I will be back either tomorrow or maybe even tomorrow. We could do a what's going to happen next show. We'll see. Hopefully Draymond doesn't yell at an official before the game and get suspended for game six. I mean, you never know with him. Yeah, that could happen. We'd find somebody in trouble. But that's the Warriors. You love them or hate them. So we'll be back tomorrow or soon after. Thanks for the listening to us again. I do apologize. I misquoted the KG thing. That was wrong on my part. But we always like to stick to our facts. And when you kind of phrase what people say, sometimes you get it wrong, too. But
I wish you
I
had that problem. I think he's a top five guy here. That would have been a good problem to have.
I hope there's a lot of splashing tonight. Kirsten, I'll be back soon. Take care. Condolences to what happened yesterday. It's hard to even talk about, but that was obviously unfortunate. So hopefully sports is something that can help soothe people in a very sad moment in our history. So take care. We'll be back soon. Peace.